Then to get yourself to them. you've had a difficult time before. If you make it difficult for them to make the fast track, if you put yourself in a situation where they can't get the fast track right, then even if you can't, you can victimize yourself, so you really do. So how about we are here? I don't think we did the profile that we were thinking. Now, first of all, the places that we like to go, the things that attract us, are typically in those kind of neighborhoods to begin with. Otherwise, you wouldn't be attracted to them. The campgrounds that you stay in, the non-food parks that we're in. If we have one complaint about the campgrounds and RV parks that you stay in, it's the close proximity of all those other RVs out there. We all like to have a lot more space between ourselves. But now you have all the people in close proximity. Campgrounds and RV parks will have many people to go, then the campground hosts will know about the particular duties. There are other RVs walking up and down the boats and in and out of the campsites at all hours of the day, because we don't see banking jobs out there. And every campground, there's this couple. If you haven't noticed them in the past, boy, you can pick up on them in the future. Doesn't that couple of this thing I can bring back to watch them? Yeah. You see, now here's that couple that's 6 in the morning. They drag their water chairs out and take their money, put themselves down, and they sit there all day long without so much as a potty break and watch them. There you watch everything that's going on. They know everybody's business. Who's getting that campsite? Quick job, left that donation in the middle of the road. They know everything that's going on. Well, when you combine the watchers and the walkers and the campground folks and the dangers that all those people in close proximity to you, that's a lot of potential witnesses. That's a lot of people who can come to your aid. And that means that, you know, because the danger of terminal can be caught, it makes the person avoid that inconvenience out there. Besides that, an RV, whether it's a trailer, a motorhome, a camper, or a van, whatever it is, it's not like a car or truck. You have the chance to walk by an RV right at the window. And right away know who, what, how many of this side. Not so the door opens to you know what you're going to do, there's a new truck. Not so the door opens to you know it's going to be treated by a long dance in the van, a smelly great tank, but just a little lady holding a big new gun. Yeah, no. And that's not knowing that you're going to be a friendly train effect out there. And I noticed that next time that you're wandering around the trail today, take a hard look at these arguments and think about how would you go about breaking into one. They're a little bit like a fortress. They're not easy to break into as a house, that's for sure. The windows are a lot higher and they're a lot smaller. Anybody here ever locked themselves out of their RV? Yeah, I have. Not easy to break back into your own RV, you know. We have to catch a flood zone tonight and all went to the Walmart parking lot. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the size. You pay a long time to go? No, I can't afford it. You can't be driving about a $100 bill tonight. No, I don't think I'm standing in Walmart parking lot. But we were. We spent less than shopping. We came out of another door, walked up there to my RV. I put the key in the deadbolt and locked it. Just on the street like there was nothing there at all. Vicky, I think we're locked out. Your candid answer? What are you going to do about it? Well, I think any good American male would do. I walk around that motorhome 3 times looking for entry door that I don't remember the past. Not finding one, I refuse to try it myself, but hey, we're locked up. And she says, well, look out the windows. No, I know the windows are all secure. Go try it anyway. So I'm going to looking out the windows. And wouldn't you know, she's a driver, which I'll just split open on that car there. But I look at the size of the opening of that window, and I look at the size of the driver. And she just turned back at me and said, "Give me a dream, truck driver." You saw it just sprinting through our own motorhome. I don't let the keys to the cabin. I said, "Cabin, that's me on a step ladder out there. That's where we all just keep our money on our ride. That's my keys to put running down with. I just slid open that driver's window, sit on the step ladder, get through the window with that running rod, and I was just keys to lock on the next slide of the window. I walked in, with the step ladder, you know, started crawling through the window. And I just about the time I'm halfway in, halfway out that next day, and in good hair, and my belly took care of it from the rail there. Oh, I'm going to look pretty fine. And of course, he answered the typical question, "Can I help you?" And the son said, "Yes." Yeah. So I put to my husband, "Can you help me?" It's not easy to break into an RV, and it certainly couldn't help you do it in an inconspicuous fashion. So, you know, the frustrating thing when you're out there, you know, I'll give you a pre-set. And also, we have one more thing going for us. There's a perception out there about RVs, by people who are driving. And they kind of look at us, as a bunch of blood-thirsty, gun-toting, redneck, who just can't wait for an opportunity to blow something dead on, you know? Now, I don't agree with that perception, but I do nothing to discourage it. I never do that. So, you know, the thing to that criminal, he's just an opportunity. Looking for an easy target. A fast driver for getaway. So let's go talk about the common sense thing. Common sense thing about minimizing your risk of becoming a victim out there. There's an accident that you like to be safe. S for secure, A for avoid, F for flee, G for engage. So we'll take a word of time. S for secure. Lock things up. You know, you can target your target, that's all. You either want to make it difficult for that person to get in or to get past that door, or you want to make it take too much time to get through it. So what you want to do, this is big thing. You want to encourage him to block your neighbor's grid, not yours. You know, make it too hard for him. So you get a hard time out. You can't solve the block. And then you use them. The neighbors will call off and see somebody who's left for the day, and they come back and they just walk up to the door and they just pull that door open on that RV. The door's been unlocked all day. Those days are gone, folks. They're real gone. So we just believe juice is a catch camp. We do these things up all around that tent and not feel at all like tent makers can't get in. Those days are gone. So here's the lock. Lock the doors on those RVs. Upgrade the lock covers on your exterior door change if you feel the need. We haven't done that. But that's a thought process that you can put to work if you know something really valuable outside. You know, I can't afford to have anything worth stealing out there. By the way, if you buy a used RV, it's not a good to have a watch list. DT got watch list. And it's not a bad idea to keep the default lock in any case because there are a lot of times it's floating around out there at the RV dealership. And RV dealerships have a turnover to make the first spot once still where average score in the last maybe about 3 years before they move on to other things. A hinge lock, you've got a trailer, put the center of the lock on that hinge. Make it difficult for someone to just back up and load your whole trailer on and disappear. That can ruin your day when you come in and you're something in the camp like that. I guess we all just garage with our restricted wood in our windows at home where you can play it in with a crack in the bottom so you can kind of back up the lock. Use a light cage, like our bicycle cage, to use to secure bikes and barbecues and stuff to the outside. You know, locking up your bumper or even use time for a good heavy picnic table. And we might like the paper picnic table too. Throw your cash in your valuables. Get a hidden place in that RV. If you have a safe, that's great. If you get one of these cool safes that you can, screw into the floor somewhere, find a place where you can find that thing. The idea is slowing it down. Nobody's about them in a burglar remote, whether inside your RV or inside your house. They don't want to spend any more time than they have to. Think about how you would feel if you were just stuck into some stranger's house. And you didn't know when they were coming back or how you would treat them or how they would treat you. You know, that's their assignment when they were inside that place. They want to get out and go quick. They want a fast pass. Your first adult, if they go to your house, for example, the first place you're going to head for is your bedroom and a top door of the traffic. How many of you don't have to answer this? Think about this. How many of you, that's where you probably keep your wallet, some of your jewelry, and that sort of thing out there. They, you want to make them work for you when they take anything. Install a superior light that you can turn on your manual. That way, if you hear funny noises outside or whatever, you just switch on that light. And that, by the way, lets these people know that they're there. Don't install these lights that are sensor lights. Because every time a skunk wanders by, or a raccoon, or something like that, the light flashes on and off. And those lights will flash on and off all night long. And your neighbors will just get to the point where they don't pay any attention to your RV. And they finally usually get to the point where they hope you do get by. You know? Put a manual light out there. You can have a panic alarm. The car you're towing, the truck you're towing with, a good number of them probably have a panic alarm. All you do is press the button on your keychain there and it sets that alarm off. So you think about it, that car is off to the side somewhere, the truck is off to the side, and you feel like you came bottom of the last that you push that panic button, they have some outside alarm go off. A lot of them will also flash the lights on the side. But something to keep in mind is it's available to you, South Austin. And I get all this help, you travel with other auditors, and certainly your camper with an auditor. You got a blue dot, you come through a Walmart thing, or it's quite necessary to a truck stop or whatever. Just camper mode. Camper with other auditors out there. Maybe you like to tell people what's best. I'm not going to spend any time on it. She has her way to get there. Can't be one of our beers outside. Here's a trick for you. When you go out to the campsite, make sure you say hello to your neighbors. When they come in, it's just up while you're out there to get the campsite. You look your neighbors right in the eye and you say hello. It accomplishes two things. Number one, they recognize you as being a person who sees their RV. And they might pick up on a fancy of wandering around out there. Number two, they know that you know what they look like. So in case they might have any funny ideas, they already know not to know how to recognize. Say hello to your neighbor, see a good friend out there. And of course, one of the best things you can do in life, write a note. Dear John and Sally, we're over at the exhibit booth. We'll be back at 4 p.m. Put that on the outside of your door. Yeah, that's a good way of doing it. And here's another one that kind of follows through with that a little bit. A lot of us, we like to have, go to one of these sign places and have our name put on a little wood plaque, the John Citizen, we hang it in front of our RV somewhere, Bill and Mary Jones. And that's okay when you're in amongst friends and you're in a tight community type of thing. But if you get yourself to camping somewhere, boondocking or whatever, think about how easy it is if somebody come up and they know your name and they wait until about 3 o'clock in the morning. And they suddenly start slamming on your door and they yell out, hey, Bill, Mary, you better get out here quick, you got a problem. Well, if you're hearing Bill and Mary, these people are out, must be somebody who obviously knows you, your mind's still fogged for you, and so you just kind of go stumbling out the door. So think about the times when you should and maybe you should not enter your name somewhere outside of that arcade. And you don't want to open up the door in the middle of the night without first recognizing that you know there's a call line out there. You can't understand things. A dog is smart. They're pretty open, so you tell them to stop. But a dog is smart, the chance of the coach, that's always nice. It really is. Because, even they're the tiniest little pussy dog in the world. But man, they can really drive, rip up a person to ankles. And birds prefer not to have something like that happen. All of the above that you mentioned, all we're doing is your heart and stomach. You make it difficult. You just get put up obstacles for someone that came in. Just going down that fast grass and making it difficult. And it's not something you want. And maybe you can hit your mirror and sit for a fast that's a skate out there. Criminals and opportunists, looking for an easy target.
That's rather trivial.
Don't let that happen.
Okay, now that's kind of safe. So I already talked about aspects of spirit. How about putting for a voice? A voice follows as much as you can, just within common sense. As Joe said, pick a commercial or government campground. If you don't want to stay in your own type of campground all of the time, if you're going to do that, make sure you go to wellness areas. Go where other RVs are. Go inside to Buddha, Gemini, and Tesla, and Papa Bar, or Warehouse District, and Gordon Vanderbilt. Those are just things that are not in common sense. All you have to do is just use common sense about that. If you are photographing and you're touched around other people as well as areas, we also like to say that if you can, we like to park between two other bins. One of them will have a bumper sticker that says member of the NRA and the out of it. The other one will have a bumper sticker that says spirit by Smith and Wesson. You just hope those two guys don't get mad at each other during the night, because too. And as long as they don't, you'll be all set. So it's just common sense ways of avoiding problems. We talked to a number of very convenient people who have come up with some really good ways of avoiding problems, minimizing their risk. And if you can get this idea from a single woman, now by the way, there are thousands and thousands of single women out there, traveling all by themselves. Many of them are full-time marketers. We meet them everywhere we go. One time we were in State Park and started talking to a single woman that was a full-timer. We had so nice food with her throughout the evening. At the end of the evening, she walked over on her bed. We were watching her walk over there. Before going into the night, she leaned into one of her exterior covers, pulled out a dog that year, set it on the ground. Reached into the same cover, pulled out a dog collar that year, attached to it, and she was saying, laying that on the ground. Thursday night, she gave us a big wave and the sweetest smile, and then just like your eyes in the night. Now think about it. Would you want to break into that lady's garden and see if she has a dog and look at that gift and that collar? And if she does, you are in very, very deep trouble, because she can't even restrain that dog. It's collar is laying on the very outside. We met another single woman that went to an old Marvin Army surplus store. She bought a pair of the biggest, dirtiest, most outrageously awful looking boots she could possibly find. She just comes to us outside of the door and she goes to bed at night. She says, you know, nobody's going to try to figure out what size that man is and can't be wearing that size. Nobody really wants to know, and I said, you're trying to break in. We have one night that we had been a single woman. She said that she's been full-time and won't be new here for about 15 years. Her name was Pam. And she said that she just had a little costume motorhome that she traveled around in. She said one time she stopped in the car lot to walk from the RV, and she said just about the time she went outside, she noticed a motorcycle over the road coming up. And she said they might have been okay, but she wasn't sure. She kind of had an uneasy feeling. So she just went into her motorhome, turned on the radio real loudly, came back out, started walking the motorhome. She said that the knife pulled up on her motorcycle not too far away and he was watching her. And all she did was every once in a while she yelled, "Yes, turn that damn radio down." And it just gave me a message. Somebody put it inside. So let's come up with some pretty ingenious approaches. The whole idea is avoid being an easy target. If you can't avoid it, serve that as an acronym, okay? Yes, first please. Get away. Just do everything you can to get away. If you're driving down the road and somebody tries to go to you, if there's something wrong with your RV, just keep going throughout the middle of nowhere. Keep going until you can get to a well-lit area where there are other people and it's well-lit. Don't pull over at the side of the road at night to check out and see if your antenna really gets to go up. The antenna is not really as important as your own well-being is. If somebody is feeling uneasy about something or someone is following you, most of us have cell phones right now. I think you can call them highly as well. If you can't call someone, then just go to the nearest town, go into the highly useful station that you can have signs on the interstate showing you where they are. Go to a highly station, go to a shopping center, go anywhere where other people are. Just do everything you can to get away from them. Talk your voice, yell, scream, whatever it takes to attract attention to try to scare that person off. I think that's something that sometimes people don't really think about, how they could just flee. They could just leave the situation and maybe even if you go offer some of the things that might make you feel threatened, I think that you really can deal with just by getting away from them.
Mm-hmm. And you just have a tough situation where you can't avoid or get away from somebody and you have a conversation going in front of you. You know, it's really the same right now, because you don't have this gentleman coming to your name. You're not scared. You're not angry. You're kind of thinking that this little child, okay, well, here's what I would do. When you're really standing there face to face with somebody, maybe you thought about this and not going to be working all that soon. And maybe your ego or your macho feelings that it might take over on something like that. So you want to do a little bit of thinking now, taking some things into consideration. Think about this. If somebody can trust you with your intent to rock you or look at whatever, he's already picked a curve. He's decided what he's going to do. He's picked a curve. He's talked to the victim. He thinks that he can take He may know something that he don't know. He's got the advantage in that particular spot. He may be honest, he might be sitting on drugs, he might be crazy. They're all free. And then you have to think in these terms. Are your valuables worth the risk of getting hurt? You know, 30 years ago, 80 miles ago, I was a strapping man guy and I could take it on a little more than anybody who wanted to come my way. Today I've got a fit in my heart, I'm 80 pounds overweight, and all of my bones seem to break through here, my skin takes longer to heal. I don't know if I could take it on with 25 to 3 pounds of sodium. Been doing this on a regular basis for the last 2 years. I think I have to think about it. Do I want to engage this guy? Or do I want to just throw my wall over and say, see you later? Let me tell you a little side story here that might emphasize this. In a previous life, I used to be involved in a situation where I'd go out and I would beat three bank tellers in the rock. I also used to shoot banks that was out to respond to a bank robbery. Now, the easiest thing to do, if you ever scrap the cash, any other pocket cash, just walk into a bank. Right. Easiest crime in the world to commit. Now, what you want to do, you want to go to the next big bank, you know, nationwide bank, like Bank of America or something like that. Because they train your teller how to respond. And all you have to do is walk up to the teller and hand me it up and say, this is the robbery. Give me your money. To give you your money. Then you're out the door. But with the 90% chance, you're going to go to federal court for that. Most banks don't get caught. So this is what we tell people to do in the training program. Put yourself in the shoes that bank robber. Now, in all likelihood, he's got a drug problem. Well, percentage-wise, he's got a drug problem. And that's why he's going to walk into a building in front of a whole lot of other people, and they're trying to steal some money. But wouldn't you know that once those 6 hours, he has to wait in line? Yeah. So he'll stand there in line, and he'll wait. Now he's nervous to begin with. He may be a little hesitant because he needs that 50% money for a good more. But he's nervous, and he's standing there in line, and he's agitated, and he's running with that big guy standing behind him, the plain clothes cop, you know. He's also wondering about what that teller's going to do when he becomes this one of your hurt. Because he's heard the story, the chances are he's been in jail before, and he's heard the story about how tellers have reacted. The teller can just threw her arms up in the air and ran down behind the teller line screaming, my God, he's got a gun, you know. So the teller just thinks he'd get away and disappear, and then he's good and drives him from waiting line again. Or the teller literally jumped over the counter and said, this is the third time this week. And I had to tell him my drug tonight. And just pummeled him to death, you know. So he doesn't know how he's going to react. And hopefully he gets up, you know, wondering about these other guys. There are guards in there. They got TV cameras on before he's going to react. And if he's got his hand on a gun in the plate pan, this finger's getting tired from fighting. You know, last week, finally, he's about to shoot out the final part of the day. Finally, he gets up there to that teller. Presents him a note and asks about the tense that she's going to get all the time he's there, waiting for her to respond. So we would tell each teller, here's how you take control of the whole situation. Say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, you're going to give me money. Yes, sir, I'm not going to give you any trouble. Yes, sir, you're going to get out of here. I'm not going to bother. And that way, he'll release me from his grasp on that gun. Sometimes drop the gun on the floor. You know, grab that money or run out of the door. And he'll leave the note behind that was written on the back of his deposit. You know, you're not smart people who stand around. But, then again, you can increase it. Now, next, we'll tell them, you know, train the teller, okay. Make sure you remember, well, all you can about describing this guy, how tall he is, what color he is, what color eyes he has, what kind of clothes he's wearing, and make sure you know if you walk out the door, compare his height to that tape record that's sitting on the side of the wall over there. Sure. Maybe there's a place to tell people to do that. Here's the answer you get. The person you're up to is a man or woman. Think of your name. How big of it is this? What color? I don't know. What kind of clothes are you going to get? What do you remember most about the year you've done? What kind of watch was it? Was it a revolver? Was it an automatic? I don't know. It was there. Okay, how can you talk about that? Because he's been traumatized. He's been traumatized. And that's not what you think you're doing. But, rejecting the bank teller is to get that person out of there and know how to tell it. And it's only money. There's a lot more where that came from, so don't worry about it. Get them out of there. So you might want to put that thought process to work. Would that work for you? He may know something that you don't know. You have to talk to that fellow and then what about your physical condition? And is your wallet worth hanging on to? Here's something that we picked up a long time ago when I traveled. We were told that there might be pickpockets out there, and you might even be hesitant to murder. And this was a traveler without an ID. We put together an old wallet. I just got one of my old wallets. He's got an old driver's license, you know, it was no longer a valid driver's license. I made sure that the address was all scratched out on the thing, but it was good enough. Put in a couple of cards that were actually a supermarket discount card, threw them in there, put a few dollars in green dollars in the wallet. That one I carried in my hip pocket. My real wallet was inside of a Belgian that I had for that purpose. It never happened to me, but I figured so if some market came along, I would pull that wallet out and talk to them. I probably can't surprise you to look at me left that wallet and you take your money out and give it to me. That's a thought. You know, here's the thing too. If you do decide, if your circumstances and your business thought is, I'm going to take this guy on, then you fight viciously. You get all the things you both told me about buying and sharing. You know, get the Martinez Food Fairy rules, you get the drill problems, you get boys there. You do everything you can to fight viciously. You be mean, you go crazy, you scream, you bite their nose, you gouge their eyes, you know, you kick wherever you can, you pick up rock sticks, whatever you comment on the statement, but you keep fighting, you fight viciously and mean, and don't stop. You have not lost until you quit. And you have to think about something too. Even though you're the victim, the loss that you can only use enough force to overcome that person's resistance. You are not allowed to punish him after you overcome him. But be sure that you punish him while you overcome him. But the engagement part, you know, there's plenty of things that must be you. And you have to take a chance too. You know, chances are it's not going to happen. Chances are it's not going to happen to you. But think about it now. When you're going to make some rational trust right now, don't let the ego and your emotional feelings get in the way. What would be a practical thing to do out there? And what about the carrying a plan?
You may just be able to get by with having something with you get a series that it can be used as a weapon. Maybe you would never have to use it, but if somebody just sees that, they think, oops, I don't want to go near that. Box with a dog. That scares a lot of people off. So you can have a big bolting super of all things who everybody knows are the similar stuff in the world. But there were times when I would be walking her and I would see even men coming on the same side of the street toward me and they would cross the street and go across because they didn't know what that dog was going to do. That looked like a good weapon. If you're a walker or a jogger, very often you might be carrying weight. That can be taken as a weapon. A golfer may decide to walk with a golf club in his hand. And especially if you're walking in the evening, a big, heavy metal flashlight that fills out a lot of rain and provides a lot of light. And it could also be used as an object to get a high spirit that you needed to. Now, those things can also be dangerous weapons by the person that sees you. So, you know, think about things like that. So if you look at it, like you've got a weapon, and then now you have a gun.
Favorite campfire conversation after what kind of argument you have and where you buy the piece of fuel, then you carry a gun. I get that question a lot. Especially if you're getting out of it, because people recognize it. And that's how you will come over the bridge when they recognize it. You guys got your gun in your RV? And why was I comfortable by that question? Because I don't even know that person is after. And I'm concerned if I say, yes, I carry the gun in my RV. But they might put it so on me up there. And they'll break it in the RV to try to do that, try to feel like that. On the other hand, if I say, no, you don't carry your gun in our RV. Now I'm concerned that they'll put it right in, even though we are there. So I come up with an answer that seems to satisfy most people. If you're really interested in knowing whether we carry a gun in our RV, keep it on board, but that's not. Now, I'm actually questioning my decimals if you're in your book. You can't kick in an RV door. It opens up. But it's the not knowing. It's the not knowing that helps a lot. If you want to carry a gun, that's entirely up to you. It really is. If you're comfortable with weapons out there, that's great. I've been around guns all my life. I'm comfortable with them. As I have no particular love affair, I don't collect them, and I'm not all taken with them. Some people seem to be. But if you're comfortable with weapons, and you have a gun in your bench can at hand at home, then you feel comfortable carrying one in your RV, and that's the decision whether you want to do that or not. There's a few things that you should take into consideration. Well, really, are you sitting in your nice and cool and calm and collected? A gun purpose is to kill people. You pick up a gun and you're a killer. That's what you are. You have a stake to pull the trigger and put someone down. Don't think you're going to wave that thing around, because if you don't pull the trigger, they'll take it away from you and use it on you. So, you know, if you're going to have a gun, know that you're going to be able to use it. And also, if you're going to have a gun of any kind, do yourself and everybody else a favor. You take a good course on how to handle a gun. And when to use it, and more importantly, when not to use it. The policemen are all more important than people in all areas. They take hours and hours and days training of using that gun. When to use it, how to use it, when not to use it. And yet, you know, we still read stories of where policemen have made a mistake, if they're in a mistake out there. So get some training out there. And this is another thing to consider too about guns. It is very difficult to have an engine in your RV travel as a municipal. It's rare for a police officer to have a certain degree. But if he does, if you're in the state of Massachusetts, if you're in the state of New York, and you have a handgun in your RV, you're going to go to jail. There's a book out there that advertises in the RV magazine. It's out of a handgun law in the United States, where it's written by a lawyer that's a very, very good book. And most of his information was provided by the National Rifle Association. And you can go to the NRA's website and get pretty much the same information that the lawyer presented and it was not bad for anything. If you got a gun, you have a weapon out there, get that book. It costs like $10 or $12 and it's good information for you. And essentially what he would tell you is that you can legally, if you do things right, you can legally have a handgun in your RV and you can travel pretty much anywhere in this country. But there are certain things that you have to follow. Here's an easy thought. It might be easy if you want to carry a firearm and a weapon and it's still be legal. Carry a shotgun. Oh, everybody understands the sound of a slug being loaded into the shotgun. Loudest noise in the world. You know, and sometimes, you know, if you're going to be outside, all you have to do is make that noise and they'll go away. But think about seriously about firearms. There are things out there where you really are. You're in jeopardy if you carry it, as far as the law is concerned. Now you can get down to the office and grab the police at the bar and follow the law. Think about it. If you're a police officer, who would you rather stop? That pretty girl that Nick Convertible? Oh, that big RV, the guy that's going to say, what? You who? Why can't I come to the thing on this? They got to go after something else. There's other stuff in elevation that's dropping out here. Our people are perceived to be young, lawful, providing citizens that support policemen out there, and they really are bothering me. But please, if you do occur out there, please be aware of that. What is that your question? You got something
else to say, Jim? Just so things forget. Okay, as Phil said at the beginning of the seminar, we've been in RV for 25 years. We never attacked anyone, even attempt to molest us, accost us. We never felt threatened. We never personally talked to anyone that had. But I just can't emphasize enough. Trust your instinct. You always use common sense in the places where you park and the way you handle yourself. But I think instincts are such a good indicator sometimes of things. If you feel the spirit of sadness on the back of your neck, then go away from that situation where you're feeling that way. We've always had that happen to us one time in all the years that we've been arguing. We used to spend a lot of time traveling with three very small children. We did as much traveling as we could in the evenings at night, early in the morning, so that the kids would be asleep and it kind of lessened the arguing very bad question. And one time, many, many years ago, we were crossing on I-10 going to New Mexico, and we just really got tired, and in some days we just pulled off anywhere, whenever we wanted to spend the night. And we saw a sign road under a tree, and we thought, just stop doing that, we're just going to pull over and go to sleep early in the morning. Well, we pulled over, went to bed, and about half an hour later, Joe and I realized we were both laying in bed with our eyes wide open, just listening. And I looked at him and I said, do you feel like this isn't a good place to stay? I said, I just feel uneasy. There's something wrong here. And he said, I have exactly the same feeling. So we just drove away and went on down the road. Now, we have no idea why we felt that way. There was nobody around and we weren't caught. So we can't make her feel that way. But for some reason, our instinct just told us we should get away from them. And now we've never been sorry that we did that. It's funny, too, because we drive past that spot on I-10 in Mexico at least once a year, sometimes twice a year, and we still pick out that tree there. We still remember that place. But trust your instincts, you think they're probably right. Now, just a minute, Joe's going to wrap this up and answer any questions that you may have. First of all, I want to let you know that we have 5 sponsors. These are the people that make it possible for us to travel around the Union Valley and our East Coast. The Good Sam RV Club, Flying J Travel Plaza, Duop, Floating Systems, Solar Tires, and Bay Power Equipment. I think most of them have booths over in the exhibitors area. Stop by, tell them what we sent you. They're all good folks, they're all products and services that we've used for years.
Well, there you have it in a nutshell. Now, I don't think you told you anything that you didn't already kind of already know. Common sense kinds of things. You know, don't be an easy target. Make it for yourself. Put yourself always in a position where it's difficult to do you any harm or do you cause you any harm. Make it for yourself and make it hard for them to just grab something real quick and run off with it. Just, you know, encourage them to rob somebody else. You know, there's no somebody else out there. It really isn't. That's why you have a dog, isn't it? You know, the dog's in a bar, and it's okay to go to people where there's no dogs out there. Part of the United Concerns are getting the RV world is relatively low time in. You think you're going to have a lot of fun out there. Go travel, have a good time. Travel safe. Thank you very much for it. I've got to tell you about these 3 books, because otherwise you'd be saying you have a pet. RV can't teach you how to choose out there to enjoy an RV. Just anything about our game, if you know, and it's all loaded up with how you do it the easy way, and choosing an RV as your house next door, it's just lots of ideas and making an RV in the TV. Extended RV travel, for those of you who want to go out on the road and wait for most of the time, you have some different considerations out there. Like, how do you do your banking when you're rotating, when you're 3,000 miles from home? How do you get medical care when you've been out on the road for about 3 or 4 weeks? How do you get prescriptions renewed when you're in a different state than when the prescription was written? We cover those topics, and also we have a section in there on what to look for in an RV. Some features to look at that might be, it's advisable if you are in the place to go out and be an extended traveler or a full-time traveler. And then how to take tricks and techniques. Vicki and I think most of you know that we've been writing topical articles for the RV magazine for the last 10 years. We've been taking a big issue of the most informative and the most interesting, the most calm and heartfelt, breaking down the subject of quick tips. And John Cook is going to look at a retirement and proceeds in the screen book, so he's caught up on us in the back. So, Rick, we're going to retire in 80 years. If you'd like to talk to me, the only thing you need to extend on your travel, the show price is $15, and the green book and good book is only $10. And if you'd like to talk to me, during your question, if you'd like to get your tickets to the table, you'd be happy to get an autographed copy and a big smile. And if you buy all three books, people will flash the sunshine smile. That's going to pull you up for anything. Can we take any questions from my dad?
Yes, no handguns, but can you... You're telling us a shotgun would be legal in all 48 states?
Am I telling you that a shotgun is legal in all 48 states? Pretty much. As long as you have it, in most cases, you just look at firearms laws, but let me give you a rough idea. As long as that shotgun is locked away somewhere, and it's away from the ammunition, it's not loaded, it's away from the ammunition, then you're pretty much legal carrying that thing around. But read that book, really. The man is very helpful, I think.
Thanks. In the instance where you spoke of feeling uneasy and you were in your motorhome, what would you have done if you were in a fifth wheel?
Okay.
You got an accident trailer.
The man asked, that's the situation where we have to meet that tree and we found that easy. We have to do good in a trailer. Yeah. And he asked me to do a trailer. You still were in a motorhome, that's fine. And when you have that thing out of motorhome, especially if any women were trying to travel by themselves out there, I used to get behind the wheel and drive off, and you just broke your hose and the wires behind, that's okay too. So we have to be in a trailer that night, and I was the first one out, and the thing looked close to us, and before my kids were out, he loaded them in the car, and down the road we went. And that's what you have to do. That's where we were.
Just early on, she has a way of choosing the area.
Oh, yes, that's different. If you like to pick the area we're going to go, that's a pink shot. The pink shots are Joe, here's what you're going to do. And the blue shots are human. as you mentioned out there, the price you can set, if you're going to be boondocking, you boondock between Colorado, the Gulf, and our Asian finger in one of those, for sure that's what they want. But I was about to put that out there, and I know it's not that tricky, but I'm sure that I don't know it, anyway. Definitely.
You didn't mention pepper spray, and I'm just wondering...
Okay, we didn't mention pepper spray or anything like that, because a couple of years later, San Gregorio is coming out very well. Here's something that I consider, too. If you're going to go to Mexico or go to Canada, you don't want to carry handguns and weapons into those places. You can carry a long rifle, long guns they call them in Canada. Rifles and shotguns are the sporting purposes. You can carry those up there. You get a permit because they cost 25 feet. Okay. But pepper spray or mace or all this other stuff, you can't carry it right across the border, either north or south. Now, once you get across the border, there might be a stuff like, I think up in Canada, they call it bear spray or something. That's something I think that's a game in Canada. He goes on the human hands on. And they have a blue shirt if you have to handle it. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
You mentioned flying
days
and sponsors.
What am I doing about docking at flying days and my sponsors? We have spent more than one night enjoying the ambiance of the truck stop on flying day. The nice thing about flying day is most of them are pretty well similar to the same floor plan, if you will, out there. And the trucks pretty much park out the back, and they have a section out front where RVs can park. You know, with other gas pumps and so on. So you know that the truck really doesn't buy you back into it. And you don't have a truck hauling hog parked on the north side of the wheel, and you figure out a truck that's generated. You know, well, it's nice because it migrates you all night long. That's kind of, you know, like 640 in bed over there. We take flying days just as an in-house thing for us. We're on, like, next January, we'll do a show in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then we have 2 days to get down to Tampa, Florida for the next show. So that means that we'll pretty much most of the way through the night and just stop and go and get along and pick up those things and continue on. But we out there. Yeah. And I'll Vicki and I are strong proponents of walking the truck route. The wisdom that you can find from those folks, I mean, these guys drive over the road all the time. And you go into the truck stop and you see something congested at night, it's not unusual to see your change, they cover the change generally under the driver's window or maybe the passenger's window. You don't allow the window to be open for air, and those that come in to feel free in there. These two guys are just going to give you a heavy load to come to back in. But they're kind of watching to see what the truck is doing, where they go. Like, they can't find the long route, and one of the things they do is they make you a question. Excellent point. This man, just pointed out, if you're outside the access doors, you know, if you press it off, then it's a safety motor. The problem is that half the keys are in the change door. You know, I can open up your cover so you can open up mine. And you have to think in terms of the fact that now a lot of the new RVs are doing clever things, like they put a hatch or a trap door between that cabinet down below and the interior of your RV. I've seen that in the stairwell, for example, with big wheels where you can lift up these stairs and you can get to a basket down below, the RV laundry or whatever. And some people are having their own hatches because their pets can go down below and come up and that type of thing. So yeah, if you have any access between your cabinetry and into your RV, you might want to have something better than just that common little key lock that they put on. A good locksmith can help you out there. A good locksmith can find the right lock for it. Anyone else about the question? Yes, sir. So far, hi. What? What all do we do? This gentleman has asked a question. We came to a lot of them today, but it was just kind of laughing, actually. We commented on it in a few of our columns, and we said we decided to keep our motorhome at 8 years old, the diesel pusher. And we love the floor plan, and it's given us great service. And we went to the decision making process with the secret, as we traded it. It's got 150,000 miles on it now. And we decided to keep it, and we're kind of upgrading and rejuvenating a little bit. This afternoon, for example, we're having two brand new windshields put into it. Yes. And then tomorrow afternoon, the refrigerator will die, so I'll have to take the windshields out and take the refrigerator out. But we've done a number of things. We've come into the 20th century, I didn't say 21st, but we've come into the 20th century, we put a satellite thing up top. We've got a bed, we've got a couch, normally we get to the storage area below it, we can lift up the front of the couch and hold the thing open with one arm while you can come to see the thing on the other. My son, fortunately for us, is a very skilled cabinet maker, and he puts 3 feet of floor in the couch, so we have access to all that. We have a file box. Speaking of your business off the road, we have a file cabinet. And so what we came up with was essentially a three-level file box. Bottom level with a drawer that will hold all our maps and stuff, all the copies, maps and handbooks. And then sitting on top of that, locked in with some gravity that's held in, is a box that's the right size to hold file folders and stuff. So we load it from the top. And then on top of that, there's a tray that you find on the top of a center console. That's the holds the cups and all the junk that's collected on the center console. And that rides on the floor in between Vicki and myself. So we were also driving with it. And we thought it would flip over from its weight when we hit the high corn, so it stays nice and stable. And it has two wheels on one end and just legs on the other end. It won't blow up and lift up the end of the leg and stick it back and forth. And the nice thing about that is when we get home, instead of moving our file folders off, I just take the tray off, just lift the box of file folders and carry it across and make it very easy for us. We've done just a lot of things that make it just improve the storage capacity of these things. And now we're getting into the point of looking at maybe we'll throw some solar panel for the group. We're playing with it and spending lots of money. But we're not spending $150,000, that's for sure. So we put a bank unit on it, and we love that. And it's going to go up real fast and somebody else will get one.